Hey, what are you listening to?
Oh, you didn't get that?
Get what?
Themnutspodcast.com.
Welcome to Them Nuts Podcast Show. I'm the producer, Luis Gomez, hosted by comedians Darius Campbell and Ray Chung, along with Bucky, the executive producer. You can find Them Nuts on all your social media networks, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or follow and listen to us on Podomatic.com.
So now, let's get back to more of the comedy, and let's leave the dealers and Ben Affleck's alone.
Okay.
So you were on the Comedy Time where I saw you on your special. Was that
going back to fat jokes? Is what you're trying
no,
to
no, 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 not even necessarily fat jokes. Thanks, Ray.
You started it.
I didn't start it.
You're like, oh, you used to be a fat ass, Alfonso. You lost some weight, right?
Yeah, that was funny, man, because I've only known him like 2 weeks. I'm like, all right, I guess I'm doing all right. This insanity is working.
That is insanity.
Yeah. Oh, are you on the insanity workout?
Yeah, right now, yeah.
You are fucking shitting me.
And I smoke, and I'm able to do it. I don't know why.
Wait, no. First of all, I never thought I would meet a real person that did that fucking workout. Is it really that insane?
It's pretty intense, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I heard like that PX, whatever, that one.
P90X?
Yeah, yeah. I heard they used to make people sick.
Yeah, no, it'll make you puke. But I mean, I used to wrestle for like 6 years, so I'm used to like conditioning and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I mean, the first couple were real hard, but as you like get used to it, it's all right.
Really? So you just follow the video and just go?
You follow the video. I mean, you take whatever breaks you have to, and then but every day you get a little better. So
does it come with a meal training plan or no at all?
Are you trying to get in shape too?
Fuck yeah, I need to.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not really giving a shit about that. You know?
Yeah, no, I just drink a fucking drink right there.
I mean, I don't care. I don't want to try to lose like 50 pounds like they advertise. I'm like 15 is cool. If I can eat whatever I want, yeah, I'm happy.
There you go.
Yeah, that's what fucking moderation, man. Mm-hmm. Why go insane about it? Yeah, because the way that it looks at the workout on the infomercial is fucking ridiculous.
It's pretty bad, but it's
you know
cool,
that guy
man.
Was gay?
Is he?
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah, he's gay.
What's his name? Sean T?
Sean T, yeah. You know what's funny? It's like, because like, I used to do a little bit of that shit too.
What, the gay part? Like,
exactly. Exactly. I'm an addicted personality too. One time you had dick, it just goes off. It just goes off the train. You can't stop it. Yeah. You know, like I did the fucking Sandy for a while. Me and my girlfriend did it. And we used to think like Sean T was hitting on that Asian chick. The whole time, we're
right.
Like, oh, they must be hooking up.
Right.
And later, we found out he was gay. Like, what?
He's probably still hitting her.
Yeah,
probably
you know,
got a dick.
The hip-hop abs that he does kind of gives it away, right?
I never saw that one, yeah.
Well, it's like a commercial, like, before the insanity starts, and he's, like, doing, like, all these, like, dance moves. Just, like, and rolling his hips forward. And
no, now I totally see it. I'm like, wow, that dude is so gay.
Okay, that makes sense.
I didn't get it back then.
It makes a lot of sense.
Making me do jumping jacks and shit. I'm like, what?
You want to see my boobies jump up and down?
Well, that's a good workout, man, because gay guys are ripped. So, you want to look.
Well, I see some
nice
fat
gay
guys too. So.
They ain't getting laid. They ain't getting laid.
But that's cool, man. And so, it's like what? You pay for what? The CDs and all the shit, and then it just goes on?
Yeah, and then you just follow the calendar, and then.
So now, did you have, do you have someone you can call in 24 hours a day to ask for advice? A counselor?
I don't know, man. Yeah, no, I just pop in
no,
the videos.
No, because you listen to the infomercial, which I actually watched a couple times. But, so maybe I'm gay, too. They say you can call, you got like your personal counselor, like a fitness counselor for you to help you go through the insanity workout.
I don't know, man.
What's he going to say? Fucking work out, bitch.
Yeah.
Like, what's he going to tell you?
Yeah.
Guess.
Push play.
Yeah. That's what else I going to tell you, dude?
I don't know. Maybe you have fucking other questions. They got
stop eating all those brownies, fat ass.
Yeah,
what did I tell you?
Yeah, fucking, I don't know. I just think about it, man. I would not do it.
But yes, you're right. On the Comedy Time, I was fat as fuck.
No, you weren't that fucking fat. You didn't even rock for me.
Yeah, and then... what sucks is, like, I didn't want to lose the weight at the time because I didn't want to lose that material.
That's what I was thinking.
Oh, you were doing, like, fat material?
Yeah.
Because you're like, you did a supersized joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I switched it, man. So I just said, instead of talking about being fat, I talk about getting fatter now so I can keep it still. So I was like, all right, I guess I better do insanity.
Yeah, but then you're gonna be all skinny and healthy and shit, and then next, what the fuck is gonna do? Would you gonna switch it out? Like, fuck, I used to be a fat ass now.
Yeah, well, and it's gonna force me to actually write some new jokes. So,
which is true.
Yeah,
which is true. So, what do you have coming up?
Shows wise,
yeah,
I got the Ontario Improv. It's pretty much gonna be my birthday show, so it's my show, Dynamite Comedy. It's. Go to dynamitecomedy.com. You want some free tickets to that. Okay. Got Sam Tripoli coming out.
Oh, nice.
Of the Naughty Show. Yeah, so that's going to be a hot one. And that is Tuesday, June 10th.
Oh, nice.
8 p.m. Okay. Ontario Improv. That's going to be...
Yeah, we should definitely have this out before June 10th.
Perfect.
Yeah, because...
Probably not.
No, I know, but... at least that the right.
You missed a damn good show with Sam Tripoli. But go to dynamitecomedy.com and register and get on my website. And I'll have regular shows at Ontario Improv. And
so you're going to have Ray and I on Ontario Improv, correct?
What's definitely. Some? Definitely, right, man. We'll have you guys out. Yeah, I like both
we'll
your stuff.
We'll do Insanity on stage.
But that is some crazy shit, man. We're all out there doing Insanity workout on stage. So what do your parents think? Your family? You got family down here.
Yeah,
they
my mom.
Crazy ass shit.
My mom. She was like against comedy like the whole fucking time, man. And then just recently, she got on board. You know, she's like, yeah, you know, you still doing it? You know, that was the question.
It just takes some time.
Yeah.
You've been in it since 2004. She's now just asking you, are you still doing it 10 years later?
Yeah, you still trying comedy? You know, I'm like, no, dude, it's not going away. I'm going to do this.
That's what my mom asked me.
Yeah.
Like, Ray, are you still doing your shows?
Yeah.
Dude, do people laugh? Fuck you, dude.
Stupid mom.
It's like
total stupid.
Do you ever get your parents out to watch your shows?
Yeah, and then you know, once they saw me do good a couple times, they're like, "Okay, all right, yeah,
nice.
I see what you're doing."
Yeah, you're a funny cat, dude.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, you're very funny, man. Very funny cat. I don't.
People should definitely check out Alfonso Choa.
Yeah, I don't have my parents. They're in Seattle, so
that's cool.
Your parents ever see your stuff?
Yeah, that's good,
my mother came to one show once.
What'd she say?
She fucking loved it.
Yeah,
because I'm more like I said, my crowd work is fucking phenomenal. In
it's
the
great.
Sense, because so
I'm
I got
a little bit baby.
Yeah. So I got to fucking talk about my mom while she was there. So fucking just tag on it and just boom. So she enjoyed the shit out of it.
There you
so
go.
Now
as
she
long
went
as
back.
You're mobilizing it, you're good, man.
Yeah,
you're golden.
Then you know you're right when your mama says you're good.
You're golden, dude.
Yeah. So my mom went back to Seattle and told everybody, "Oh, he's making it big. He got his own radio show and everything. He's doing well." Like my grandma thinks I'm fucking on top of the world. She thinks I'm a fucking A-list. My grandmother thinks I'm an A-list celebrity right now.
Does she name drop you?
Yeah. She's like, "Oh, my son, grandson, Derek Cam. Oh, yeah, go look him up. He's in L.A. doing big things." Yeah. We're 100 miles from L.A. We record out of a living room.
So long.
About the studio.
Well, you know what, man? She doesn't have that many years left, so you might not make it before she's...
Yeah, you know, because that was the
So let
part.
Her believe. Just let her believe.
Yeah, because she's 94. Man.
Oh, yeah,
my
yeah. Just
yeah,
let her...
She,
let her.
Yeah, she's
you made it, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In her mind, I have done my work. When I left Seattle in 05, and I kissed my grandmother on the cheek and said, "Hey, I'm heading down. Drop your grandson off at the fucking airport," which is my stupid-ass brother. I love you. But, and so I said, "Grandma, we're leaving." "Okay, honey, go make yourself." And I'm like, "All right, I'm going to go make myself." She's from the South, so they got weird-ass sayings. "Go make yourself." And I'm like, "All right, yourself. I'm going to make myself." At the same time, I'll jack off. I'll jack off too, Grandma. I hope you like that too. Yeah. But, I mean, it's been good, man. Comedy's been good for me. And comedy's been good for, I think, for all of us right now, man. I love
it's a good time, man. Dude, my buddy, I got to make a big announcement. One of my friends... My comedy homie, Andre Belikoff, Santa Barbara, Comedy Hideaway Run. So he's been doing good things up there, man. Me and him, this is my... I gave him his first stage time ever, and we've been tied ever since. He does a nice run of converting restaurants and bars... No, not bars. Side rooms and restaurants to pretty much like a club, man. And he gets guys like Todd Glass coming out.
Nice.
Yeah, Todd Glass totally endorses it. And he just made a big announcement. 2015, I'm going to be a part of this, the Santa Barbara Comedy Festival.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so that's coming up, man. So, yeah, look up for that. Submit for that. It's going to be fun. Santa Barbara's a cool scene.
Like Darius and Ray, you got rejected. Like that motherfucker.
Yeah, Alfonso said he's part of this. Yeah. We were supposed to be in this fucking festival, dog.
So 2015, that's when it's coming out.
Spring 2015, nice. Man. And it's backed by another legend. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say his name, but
it's fucking whatever. You already said Todd Glass. So.
Todd Glass and Todd Glass is getting all his people out that he works with, headliners and stuff. So that's it's gonna be a good one, man.
Yeah, somebody else just hit me up for a comedy festival, too. I don't know if it was IE or San Diego, one of those guys. Have you tried to, you done any festivals? Ray was in a festival in Idaho.
Yeah, dude, Idaho one.
How was that, man?
It was fun. You know what? It's cool to get out of, like, California's LA area, just meeting comics from different parts of the country.
Yeah.
And it was real cool, dude. And we just get to hang out with other comics and see their style, what works, what doesn't work. And it's cool just know that your material can work out of state and stuff like that.
That's way cool.
And then, like, it was fun just hanging out with everyone, like, drinking and stuff. So it was cool. Yeah, it was real fun.
Yeah, as far as me doing festivals, man, I've been kind of hiding.
Yeah.
Because I came back from my break, and at the beginning, like, I was a New Year's resolution 2012. I came back, and I was like, all right, just get your shit together and then come out guns blazing when you're ready.
Yeah.
And I don't feel I'm quite there yet, but... I think.
Well, I mean, like, it's for me. It was just like I've never done something like that, so I was like, "Fuck it, whatever."
No, that's a good one, though. I mean, like, it's a good place to start because Idaho, you're not really exposing yourself to too many things, you know.
Yeah.
But it's a good like experience.
Yeah, it's actually kind of fun because there was actually a bunch of LA comics up there as well.
Oh, was there? So, nice.
There was a good like 9 or 10 of people of us, so it was like.
You see a lot of people you knew?
Yeah. Okay. So we're going with people. Like, you know, Lania Dominguez.
Yeah,
she helped. Like run parts of it or whatever. So she
Right. She's from there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's what happened. Yeah,
it's fun, man. Yeah. So I've been hiding out from like festival. I think like 2015 is really when I'm gonna start like putting myself out.
So are you gonna help with the management and like setting everything up with that or
whatever he wants me to do? I know I'm gonna be running one of his rooms during the festival.
Like hopefully like MC or whatever.
Yeah. And then hopefully like a dirtier show because I'm into watching that stuff, you know. Yeah. Even though I'm not like filthy myself, but I don't like censoring at all,
right? For sure.
So I'd rather run one of those rooms.
Nice. That'd be cool.
Yeah, get dudes like Tripoli out, you know.
Yeah.
I love that guy.
Wait, so how'd you hooked up with Tripoli?
I started doing rooms in Santa Barbara in like 2005, 2006, and I was the king of Mondays in Santa Barbara because I just ran a bar show, but there was no other show in town, so I was able to charge $10 a head and still get like 100 people out.
Nice.
To this place called Velvet Jones.
Yeah,
that was at the time. It was hot for like 3-4 months.
What'd you do? Go around town promoting it, or how'd you get people like
MySpace?
MySpace.
We haven't heard MySpace in forever.
Yeah, MySpace fan. So that's when MySpace was good. You know, did a lot of MySpace promotions. And was able to fill the room and make them pay a cover on a Monday.
Yeah, that's tough.
I was getting cool cats over there, man. That were just they came back. They were in town from their weekend, so I was able to get a lot of people. You know, I paid decent, so I was able to get cats like Tripoli. I had Sebastian Maniscalco out one time.
Yeah,
I had Brett Ernst a few times. You know, my favorite dudes to work with are the Comedy Store guys because they know how to work with nothing. Because a lot of times, like, those late-night OR spots.
Oh, yeah. And everybody said, if you want to work something, go to the Comedy Store. We had Steve Trevino on the show, and he's like, dude, if you really want to fucking be a great comic, go to the Comedy Store at the late show and fucking make them laugh.
Dude, I mean, just I learn every time I watch these fucking all-stars work with a crowd, quote-unquote, of 8, you know, spread out in the OR. It's just so cool to watch, man, because I'm like, what the fuck would I do in that situation right there? I don't know. And then I'm watching it happen. I'm like, okay, that's how you fucking do it right there.
Yeah. Tidbits or, like, what's the, like, anything you, like, kind of glean from that?
As far as just watching?
Yeah.
Dude, I learn something every time I go to the store, man. So I like just hiding out in the back and just, you know, watching, you know.
Yeah, just observing.
10 dudes handle whatever various weird situations that go on over there. I want to get in the store eventually. That's probably my goal for, like, next year.
To get into the Comedy Store?
Yeah. Yeah, I love that place, man.
Make a phone call for you right now.
Yeah, make it happen, man.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, pay regular gig right now.
I like watching those guys work. So
how often do you go down there?
Not very. Maybe once a month, and I'll go, like, on a Friday or Saturday and just check out either main room or OR.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it depends if there's some dudes I want to see work out, you know.
Because that's a lot of workout room for, I mean, that room is for like major stars. They come in and drop in there all the time, which is always good for the Comedy Store.
Yeah, Chappelle just popped in there.
Yeah, the other day, because we had Alex in the picture, you know, with
that's
him
insane,
and Chappelle.
Man, that's so cool.
Now, so what is your writing style, though?
I'm a phone guy. I just tap it on my phone. So, yeah, I'll get my notepad out, and then...
I do my phone for other things.
Yeah, and then what I'll do, and I'll just tap it on my phone, and then sometimes I'll go home and expand, or sometimes I'll just take that to the stage, and then just work out with that.
So do you, like, go on stage with new shit, and then, like, write it out on stage, or you just basically go from what you put on your phone and just go from there?
I write as if I think I would say it exactly verbatim. And it doesn't come out that way, but it lets it burn into my memory. And then I'll go take it to the stage, and then I'll record that, and I'm like, okay, this whole fucking section sucks. I gotta take that out. they laughed at this weird part. You know, it just...
And you rewrite it?
And then expand on, like, whatever that is.
So you don't do paper at all?
I haven't been, but, yeah, when I do paper, it's three-ring binder, and I just... write it all out.
So, Ray, what's your style? Because I don't really know. Because my style is basically fucking free fall.
Yeah, I used to do a lot on a computer and stuff. But now I'm trying to get into like writing it out on notepads and stuff. Because I heard that like it's better for your memory.
Yeah,
like,
you burn it into your mind, man.
Yeah, so that's what I've been trying to do. Right, use it by hand and shit. So,
well, once a person told me to categorize my shit.
Really?
And to put a catalog and stuff, just like it is, take cards and do it on fucking index cards and just take a joke and then take it and put it in the category. So it's like, dude, you write that for 5-6 years, then you take that shit, and when you got to go pitch your sitcom to someone, you say, I got 4,000 jokes already written.
Oh, wow.
And set that's up. Cool. And I was like, fuck, because all the shit I got a bunch of shit on, like, I was looking at it the other day, and I was like, I showed Ray, I don't remember where the last meeting we had, and I'm like, this is from 08. I wrote this joke, and boom, and it's there. And then I'm like, wow, this is a joke here, and it's on fucking envelopes, notepads, whatever the fuck I had at the time, just writing. But I don't write that much anymore. I need to get back to more writing, but I don't do that. And it's like, that's when we miss. That's when we were in the beginning. Mm-hmm. When you're sitting there, you're like, oh, fuck, how do I make a joke? And
yeah.
You went on stage. I've never been on stage with a note. At all.
That's cool.
Have you?
just like set lists.
Ray, have you ever been on stage with a note?
Yeah. You have on a phone, but...
Yeah. What do you... Like a set list or maybe like some kind of like key phrase that will remind you?
It would... it was actually my set.
Whatever. Just your set, right?
Yeah, set list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's really weird because I can't go verbatim for what I want, so ever. So I'm like, I never did it. So I was like, all right, fuck it. I was always told ever since the beginning of comedy, it's like, don't go on stage with notes. And
anything that I've actually paid for or something that's a real show, I never do that. But like, if I'm working out something, like, the reason why I started doing it is because I have a bad memory and I get pissed. But once I get off stage, I'm like, dude, I didn't do that fucking joke. Like, the whole point of me coming up here is trying that joke out.
And I never did mine.
So now I gotta, like, I bring that up if I do forget. Then I'm like, all right. Because before when I started not bringing it up, it was just for to be like a fucking badass or whatever. Like, oh, yeah, I don't need notes. But it was dumb. Like, I didn't get better. Like,
you're trying to be Darius.
You know, you're like, you're not getting better because, like, you want to work on your material. You want to hone your material. You want to get better jokes. You want to get that better. And if you can't even remember your fucking joke, what's the fucking point? Like, you're like, you know, you're doing the same stupid shit or crowd work that, I mean, you get great at crowd work, but you're not building your, you know, you're not building your hour unless you're going to do an hour of fucking crowd work, you know?
Right.
So that's why, like, I got back to fucking, you know, just like trying to remember and getting notes or whatever.
Yeah. No, because for me, I write a set list and everything, and even though I go boom, 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 this is going to be my set list for the night. And when I get up there, it's never the same.
No, but that's not a good thing, man. You gotta build a fucking hour, dude. Like, you can't.
My hour's already built.
Shut up, fool. Shut up, man. This dude.
No, my hour's.
You can't. You gonna do a fucking hour of crowd work?
No. My hour's actually already built. I just don't give it to you. You don't pay me.
Oh, God. No, but if you never tried it, you don't know if it works or not, man.
It does work.
Have you tried it?
Yeah.
All in all?
No, not the whole
album. Yeah, so like you don't know, man. Like that's the whole point.
Like, which is fucking true, but no, it's not.
You got like that's the thing. You gotta keep trying the material and trying to different.
See, but
places.
I think that's a different approach because like that's the whole. You get seven different approaches for it because everybody
said
Richard Pryor wrote on stage. And yeah. A lot of people don't know. He'll write a joke and he.
Well, yeah, a lot of comics write on stage.
No, but then you had like fucking Jerry Seinfeld had his shit completely out.
No, there's a difference between riding on stage and just doing strict crowd work.
Correct.
That's what I'm saying, though.
But even Robin Williams looked like he did crowd
work. No, that motherfucker fucking stole jokes, what he did. But he's not getting twisted.
He didn't steal all of his jokes. Same thing with Dane Cook. Dane Cook didn't steal all of his jokes.
I don't know about Dane Cook, but yeah.
Yeah, Dane Cook, he was fucking just, I think he was on a show, a year ago or so? Apologizing for taking some shit.
For real?
Yeah, him and Carlos Mencia.
I gotta
and all
see that, man.
You talking about Louis? You talking about when he's on Louis?
No, not Louis. No, they would say Dane Cook was on there crying about
really?
Taking, yeah.
I want to see.
What show is that?
It's a Dane talk Cook show. Crying? It was a talk show. It was either Connor or what's the other guy? Seth?
You talking about Conan O'Brien?
Yeah.
No, I don't believe Connor. He was on a late night show.
Google the shit so I don't have to argue with Ray over this shit.
Wow.
I never heard that. I heard Mencia.
No, Carlos Mencia was on there.
Everyone knows about Mencia, though.
Yeah,
bro.
Everybody knows about Mencia.
But I know about
the same thing, because I write, and I write all the time, and I go in there, and what I do now is put my phone on, and I put my mic, and I record on my phone, just me doing my regular bits, like about my wife.
No, that's cool, but like you still got to know if it works on a fucking audience.
I don't care. Which is sad. No, but
that's why you probably fucking bail on your shit, dude.
No, which is sad. No, I don't care if it works on the audience. It's what I was told. I don't need to care.
Yeah, you do. Okay. Like, how you know if it's good or not, man?
It's good to me. I don't give a fuck about them.
Are you paying yourself? Like,
yes.
Are you?
Obviously, right now, I am the only one paying myself. Which is the sad part about it. Yeah. No, which is, but. I say it's the same premise. If I know when I go to a party and I'm talking the same joke and I'm saying the same thing to these guys in this sense, they're going to laugh. And who am I? Who am I? What I do? And that's what I'm saying to myself every night. And when I'm reading and I'm doing my writing, I'm like, all right, cut the fat from here. And this is the joke that I need to do. So it doesn't matter. And I was told opposite. I was told, and it was instilled in my head in 08, is fuck getting a gig. Write this. And you can do it whenever you want to, because if you know the meat of your joke, it's always going to be the same joke. No matter how you get to it, you know the meat and you know the beginning. And that's what I was told.
Sure, but I don't know if like you fucking like that's like you don't know if it's good until you fucking try in front
of an
audience.
It doesn't need to be good.
Yeah, what the fuck you talking about,
man? It's me.
What do you mean? Okay, hold on. Time out, man.
No, it's me.
If you tape a special and they said it wasn't good, you'd be like, hey, it doesn't need to be good.
It's me. It's me, bro.
I'm saying what I want to say. I don't give a shit if it's not funny.
No, but sad part about it is, think about it. If I'm funny and I'm me being me and I'm always funny, then why would I change it?
No, but you don't
but
know that if you're not trying
good.
In front
motherfucker,
of people.
I'm always funny, bitch. Don't break my motherfucking thought process right now. Hey, nigga. Hey, Jay. I'm blowing all this motherfucker down. Get over here, nigga.
You should title your first special is It Doesn't Need to Be Good.
It doesn't need to be good. So I was taught a little slightly different. Is that, yeah, it has to be funny, obviously. But if I'm funny and if I go in there and if I'm always funny. You got things. You got laughs. You got whatever. You come in there with that.
How do you know?
From who? Myself.
That's stupid, dude.
No, it can't be stupid.
How do you know you're good in bed? Like, oh, fucking great. Fucking like, oh, I'm so good. Is that what you're fucking doing too? Like, you gotta fuck other women, and they're like, they're
no,
fucking
No, nigga,
good.
I got three kids to stay
that
at
That doesn't
home.
Mean you're good in bed. It just means you can fucking procreate.
Thank you. I can do my job,
I could jerk off into a fucking vagina and do that, too. Like,
that's how Ray and I always get when
that's
when
it's
Matt,
awesome, man.
No,
but you know what I'm saying. Like, how do you know if it's good or not? Like, there's gotta be a... Like,
maybe
the only,
I'm not... Hold on.
Like, right. Like, there's we some jokes
test.
You know...
Ray, we gotta
Ray,
test
relax,
it.
Relax. I have certain jokes that I use that I know where the laughs are gonna come. And there's certain...
No, but because you tried it,
you're saying... There's jokes that you write on paper and you'd be like,
boom.
That's gold. I don't need to test it. That's a joke.
Yeah, when it comes out and when it hits, it boom. It
yeah,
hits
but you
it.
Still tried it.
Yeah, that means you tried it, man.
Did it?
Yeah, well, I mean, that
like,
means...
did it? What the fuck are you saying? What
no,
you saying?
Still did it in front of an audience.
Yeah,
yeah, but you... I didn't go to fucking get the audience approval before I put it on there.
No, you never do get the... You, like, you just try your shit out.
Yeah,
if it works,
am I wrong? Am I wrong here?
Like, what do you?
I really don't have an hour, Ray, so I don't. I know I told you that, but I don't really have an hour.
You have an hour; it just doesn't need to be good.
Yeah. Oh, I have a shitload of an hour. Okay, if I pull out all my notes, I have a real fucking hour. Yeah, me convoluting. This has fucking been an hour and a half of us going in circles. Somebody's laughing fucking ass off.
Like,
this fucker's trying to convince him that he's fucking great. No, but I don't think I have to get out there and do the fucking hour special. On my own, just a full hour of my material yet, and I'm not. Well, I'm not ready for it.
I'm just
ready.
Saying you got to try out your jokes to be sure that it works or not.
I don't do jokes though.
What the fuck? I need a drink. What the fuck?
Yeah, get a drink. I don't do jokes though, bro.
What do you do, man?
I don't call them. I call them life stories.
Life
stories.
Life stories. Okay.
Yes, I don't do jokes. I've never done jokes.
Okay.
I can never do a setup punch and boom. It never worked for me. It never worked for me. Even the shit I do now is not really
jokes. But your life stories are punched up, though, right? I mean,
they're exciting.
Okay. Yes. But, I mean, you have, like...
There's not comedy timing. It's not, let's set up this so we can get to this, boom, really quick. It's not. It's been a set. It's about, like, hey, let me tell you the same story. When I set, when I was in a fraternity, and I'm telling this story, 30 people are laughing, listening to the story. When I'm at a party, and I'm telling this story, 10 people around me are laughing. I don't go set up, or I need to do the setup in order to do this punch.
No, that's just style, though. That's style.
Yeah, that's style, which is always what gets me confused, because everybody's like, you got to do setup punch.
No.
Punch.
I don't. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, okay.
I'm saying, like, you write whatever you write, and you think it's funny. And, like, I've wrote jokes that, like, I know this is probably going to fucking kill. There's jokes like that. I have a feeling, like, you just have that comic instinct. You're like, yeah, this is probably going to be real good. But you still don't know until you actually try it. Because the thing is, like, you go on stage, you might get nervous the first time, you might forget shit. It doesn't come out smooth. But you know it's good, but it's just you got to work through that.
Exactly.
Through that phase. And if you're not doing that shit.
That's better saying is, like, working through, because that nervousness that we always get.
Well, yeah, but there's nervousness, but it's not complete. There's still other tags that you got in there.
The act out isn't smooth yet. Yeah.
I think what helped me the most is when someone said, hey, you are you, no matter what you are going to do.
Yeah, but there might be a, like, you're not.
You're right. If I'm me, that's fine. Like, when I go up there and I'm hosting, I'm me. I'm open. I'm great. I'm fucking it. It's my world. It's boom. I usually find out when I'm not hosting, I'm more of a feature or a headliner or something. Then I get nervous. I start thinking, oh God, how do I do it? How do I approach it? Because I'm not used to that. Mm-hmm. So when I host a fucking lot. So boom. And I'm more of me. I go on the mic. I'm open. It's my world. I can do whatever the fuck I want. I'm in it. The crowd laughs. Boom, boom, boom. I bring them up, bring them back down, whatever. Set them up. It's the fucking, all right, come out as a feature or come out as a headliner, that's I have to work on, because and it's always the opening. Once I'm done with the opening,
gotta get them on your side.
Yeah, once I'm done with the opening, then okay, I can get back to me. And that's what my only major problem is.
So what do you think? How do you think you open properly? Do you think get there quick, or do you think, like, talk to them for a minute?
No, I think getting them quick. And I think the way I suggest in my mind to get them quick is to forget everything. No, you're right. Because I always go to blackout stage. Like, all right, just I hear this guy done whatever, fuck whatever. He's done anything. He stuck his dick in a light pole. Darius Campbell. And I go grab the mic and I don't think. And I don't think for 2 minutes or at least a minute. I don't think. I don't think at all.
Just Bruce Lee, just react.
Yep, just go crowd. Boom, boom. Okay. And, hey, fuck, whatever, room, whatever. Without thinking of the room. Because I don't go, wow, this room's dark or this room's this. And then start going up there with a preset mindset. I go, as soon as I hear Darius Campbell, I just zone out. And as soon as I grab the mic, I just say whatever the fuck's going to first come to my mind. And then after that, I go, wife. And I know, go in a bit.
So, yeah, Bruce Lee, man.
Is, like, that Bruce Lee?
You don't strike, it strikes. Yeah.
Y'all,
be the room.
Kiss of the dragon.
Yeah.
Kiss of the fucking dragon. Which is really weird, but that's my style. And it's like, it's fucking worked for me for the last.
That's fine, but I'm just saying, like, you still gotta work on your material, dude. Like, that's what I'm fucking saying. I'm not saying anything about your crowd work or something.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
no, but my material's there,
dog. Ray, 1,000,000%. You gotta test this shit, dude. I mean, you have
I got this joke right now.
Forge it.
That I've been fucking working on.
Well,
that,
I do.
Like, it's like, comedians laugh at it, and, like, people get it. They laugh, but it's like, cause it's like, it's kind of like, you gotta think about it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, and, like, it's there, but I haven't got it to where it's a real laugh, and that's what's pissing me off. Like, yeah, everyone's like, that's a good joke, but it's not getting the reaction, and that's the stuff you got to keep working on, man. You know, like, you got to keep fucking riding, keep trying to try it out, keep fucking throwing new stuff in there.
Yeah, but why don't you just fucking throw it away and just fucking move on?
Because there's something there, dude. There's something there.
Because you want something to be there, bro. It might not be shit there. Fuck it. Move on. Get over it.
Well, yeah, no, there's that. At a point, you do got to, like, let it be. Yeah. You know,
because people like it, but you just don't want it to be. You think it's going to be bigger and better.
No, because like your comic instinct is like there's something fucking there that just gotta. If I tweet something here, that's something there, right, it's gonna fucking work.
Everyone, like a perception of the joke could be weird or for some reason because you said.
Yeah, you said something. Yeah, it's like
when I talked to Ralphie May years ago before I moved down here from Seattle, he was like, "Dude, who gives a fuck what you say or what you do? As long as you get on stage and you're funny." That's all he said.
Well, how are you going to be funny, dude?
Just be me. It's what I think. No, you're right. You got to get on stage. You have material. We write material. We do it all the time. We say, all right, the jokes. This is a joke I'm going to do about my kids, the bird joke. This is it. This is the straight up where you go, hey, this joke is about the kids are here. The bird is here. The wife is here. That's it. All right. Now, how do I say it? It comes out different sometimes. It might get a laugh here and there. I don't always repeat that same joke the same time. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't. It never. And the same thing when I talk about my kids.
You have like your set beats, right?
I have, like, when I do a joke about my wife being Hispanic and our kids are mixed and they're beautiful. They got beautiful hair. Mm-hmm. My hair is not beautiful. That one all the time. You know, it's nappy shit. My mom, when she pulled my hair, that's a common joke. It gets a fucking lot of laugh. It's racist. It's in the fucking window. They're looking at it. It's the elephant in the room. Like, yeah, I can see your nappy as shit. You know what I'm saying? So they do it. So that joke, that's a joke. That's a typical joke.
No, you know, like, if you're going to do that, like, Todd Barry just came out with a special where he just does all crowd work.
I heard about that.
Yeah, like, really? It's really all crowd
work. Well, I can't do all crowd work because then it gets boring because you get talking about one person and you boom.
No, but that's what's fucking crazy. Like, that's like, some, like, I'm impressed by that. Like, just being able to do
it. I am too.
Like,
I'm blown away
like
by it.
He literally goes around doing like an hour of fucking crowd.
How do you do a crowd work for an hour? I could do a crowd work for like good 15, 20 minutes.
I remember there's a cat I watched at the Comedy Store.
At a cat?
No, there's... not that one. This fucking dude, Rick Ingram. You guys heard of that guy?
Sounds
he's lovely. All crowd work, man.
Like 100%.
100%.
That's the same as... what's his name? Sinbad was...
No, he wasn't.
I thought Sinbad said
he
didn't write.
He had a Comedy Central special. That can't be all crowd work.
I thought he said he didn't write. Yes, I said he didn't write.
Who?
Sinbad.
Well, he might, but like he still has material. Doesn't mean it's like just because you don't write don't mean you don't have material.
No, I thought he said I get up there and just... And same fucking
and Russell
even,
Hicks. Yeah. You guys ever heard of Russell Hicks?
No.
He's out in England right now, but that's like a dude.
So every
San
show
Diego.
Is completely different.
100%.
Holy shit. You know who said that they don't write shit? Yeah. Who said Kevin Hart said he didn't write shit anymore.
Well, he has a special. You've seen those jokes.
No,
there's
said,
a difference when he's saying, I don't write it down, but you still work out material.
Writers. That's why he...
Yeah, which is true.
No, I've seen his transition from, like, he's done the same material in, like, the Shaq, whatever, like, when he's like...
His penis? Was he standing at the level of the same penis?
No. Well, he did the Shaq bit where he's in the Shaq comedy special, whatever. He did the same jokes there as he did in his, when he's in Cleveland, in his special with the, I forgot what it's called. But it's
the same thing
jokes.
With the fucking
so
Cat
like
Williams.
He does write. He might not write it down, but he writes.
Okay.
So like
yeah.
But anyways, you're saying that Russell Hicks and
Russell Hicks, Rick Ingram.
Like every show is
100% different.
Shit,
yeah.
Same thing with the dude with the blue fucking
thing.
Hair.
Here's the thing, man. What I notice about those dudes, man, is once you do crowd work that much, you end up getting bits just because you've seen a fat guy. You've seen Jeff Garcia.
No, but you have it. No, even when I do my crowd work, I still have it in my mindset of the same object of the person.
But you're saying it's completely different, or
From what I've seen, but like because now that I think about it, like I see Jeff Garcia, I've seen him a few times, and then like he'll see that guy, and that'll trigger pretty much a bit.
But that's the same. The same thing that they talk. When we started comedy, they said it. When you go in a room, you see a person that might similar to what your joke is, and you use that person, and everybody thinks it's like, oh, you're talking about that person, but no, you're really not. You've already set that up. Like when I talk about a fat girl and I'm like, whoa, big girl, you know I'm going to love you. You know what I'm saying? You're going to go there and you run with that. Or you see a couple that's mixed race. Oh, you understand my story.
So you just take another step. You just identify someone in the crowd.
That's crowd work because they think you're talking about them. But technically, no, you've already had that fucking
thing.
That's
a little different.
That's what I do.
That's like kind of set up crowd work.
It is set up. It's like basically it's like the fucking old movie.
I heard like Jeff Ross does that. Like he like makes fun of the crowd because he's a roaster. Oh, but a lot of stuff, like, he's already, identified a persona in his head who would fit the description of making fun of this person.
Yeah, yeah, which is the same thing. Like, you see a hillbilly in the audience, or like when I fucking went out there and we did the show out in Anaheim, and I saw a guy that was wearing a fucking vest, it was a white guy. So I was thinking Larry the Cable Guy already, no matter what. So my jokes that was going to go up was going to be Larry the Cable Guy. And they think I'm talking about him, but it's like I'm talking about Larry the Cable Guy. And then I saw a dude that looked like Russell Peters. So I'm, boom, Russell Peters. So you already have that shit set up. But you just use it on them too, because, and then everybody's, oh fuck, that's so fucking funny. He's talking about them. No.
No, but I'm sure there's some cats who really are just, they go up there and
I mean, pretty much, man. Yeah, I mean, ridiculous. Like,
this guy went up there straight up. I cannot do crowd work without having a preset mind.
I got to say one thing though, man. My favorite thing to watch is the people that are badasses that have the badass material and they just fucking weave, you know, and out, man, just smooth. Yeah. And then you can tell this is like completely organic crowd work. This is for this night. And then boom, they somehow venture back into their badass jokes. I just saw a show like that. I saw David Tell.
Oh, nice.
And
he's
that
good.
At Brea, and the crowd was not good, man. They were the crowd was not fucking good at all, to the point where I'm like, how? Because Tony Hinchcliffe hosted, and he's fucking funny, man. I like watching that guy. And he was getting an okay response, but he was like doing some good crowd work, and his material is super strong, and they just weren't giving it up.
They
you
weren't
know?
Letting them have it.
They just weren't really giving it up. I mean, they're giving up laughs, but and then when Dave Attell got on stage, I was like, that motherfucker, that's why he's a legend, man. It was just, he opened it up.
He's been there, what, 20 years or so?
26, 28, I don't know, man, but that was the best show I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Just recently, and I've seen a lot of comedy. I'm a big fan.
What makes me laugh now is, like, people who laugh. For, like Ricky Gervais. Like, I just love his laugh. Like, he makes me laugh at his laugh. It's ridiculous. It's like, I don't know what it is about it. It's just like, they just start laughing. I'm like, I'm laughing at his laugh. Like, I'm not even laughing at his jokes. And it's crazy. Like, I was listening to a podcast, like, DVDSA, and, like, one of the guys on his critter, and he's talking about, like, pranks and, like, you know what upper decking is?
Mm-mm.
It's a prank where you shit into the water tank, not into the actual fucking seat. Oh. And so, like, the whole time, everyone's flushing, and shit water just comes out, and it sinks up the joint. So he's trying to tell this story. He's trying to tell this story, and he's just laughing the whole time. And I'm laughing, him laughing.
That's Ron White. Ron White. I love Ron White.
No, this guy wasn't a comedian, but he's just I'm laughing at him laughing, like, because he can't really tell the story because it's so funny to him. But I'm literally laughing at him laughing. I'm like, holy shit, dude, like... Something about people laughing.
Yes. Yeah, they have like a niche laugh. You know, they have like a weird, funny kind of laugh.
It's not too funny. It's just like he's really laughing.
Because he's
like,
excited about what he's talking about.
It's not a fake laugh. Okay, when someone's really laughing, it gets me fucking laughing too.
It gets you excited. Yeah. Like Ron White, when I listen to Ron White's comedy, and he's like, oh, you're going to love this one, fucker. And he like giggles. And I get excited, like, because I'm excited for it.
But did you laugh at that?
Oh, fuck yeah.
You start laughing when
with him. Yeah, because I know I'm excited about him. Because I follow him. So I follow him, and I know his stories are good.
That dude is good.
Yeah, so I follow him. So I'm like, dude, this is going to be fucking phenomenal.
He has writers. I just found that out.
He does?
Yeah, he has writers.
Well, I can believe it.
Dude, there's a few.
Yeah, but he's funny. Because he said...
you're at that level.
Yeah, who does?
Because I was listening to Bert Kreischer's podcast, and he had Stanhope on. Stanhope was telling stories about Ron White. And he's like, Ron White's like, art don't buy boats. You know what I'm saying? So he's like, he just tells the fucking jokes better than you can, and he's so fucking hilarious. So I'm like, yeah, that's true. Fucking, you can't be an artist, dude. You ain't gonna make shit, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes you gotta sell out and do a good, because he's a professional.
Well, you know what, man? Somebody just told me something profound the other day about what we do. And he says, it's not an art, it's a craft.
Yeah.
Where we're crafting an act, you know? I mean, there's art involved.
Yeah.
But I'm like, oh, wow. But, you know, that struck me, because the difference between art and a craft is craft, there's a lot more work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's...
What do you mean?
Well, because you have to shape it.
When you're crafting something, like artists, I mean, it's just kind of like you can do it whenever. You know what I mean? But like as a craftsman, like you're pounding it out day in, day out. You know what I mean?
Right. So you're saying you're working.
It's more work-based. Gotcha. Yeah, rather than just artistically flowing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Which is true. It's fucking our field. like you said, you guys have to write it, rewrite it.
You can outwork people and be funnier than them.
For sure.
And you're not naturally a funnier person.
Yeah, we see a shitload of them.
Yeah.
That go out there and they work every day. And
I hate those fuckers. I hate them.
Right? Yeah, because they think they're
naturally. You fucking outworked. Fuck you, you cheater. You fucking outworked me. Fuck you.
You're not even funny. Fuck you.
You're not even funny. You're not even funny at all. Fuck. Yeah, it's, yeah, no, but it's because
it just makes
load.
You feel bad. You're like, what's wrong with me? I'm making excuses. Like, I gotta sleep. What? I gotta eat. Come on, you fucking asshole.
Fine,
I'd rather have the talent guy. Right? He's like, yeah, he's just talented. I can't.
Yeah,
whatever.
I'm gonna go watch X-Men and.
yeah, I guess, like, whatever. He's talented.
Because we're lazy though. It's comics though too. Yeah. Because most of us are lazy,
dude.
Yeah, we're lazy.
We gotta fight that.
Yeah,
know?
That's the hardest test.
That's the one for us. Because we're lazy. We think we're fucking deserving of it anyway. And like, fuck, I gotta go do this again. And I think, but it's because our business is repetitive. Because we get repetitive. Because we say the same joke, or we do the same thing, or we're going the same thing.
Yeah, that's the hardest part, is trying to come up with new stuff.
I try to fight it by logging it, man. So
what do you mean?
I log my sets.
What do you mean log?
Like the days,
like
nights,
yeah, like times. I have a
you're like in prison counting down the days.
Pretty much, man. Yeah, I have like an actual like paper calendar, and then I write down like what number of set for the month it is, and I have to hit more than like 22. I think.
Oh,
my
so
number.
You have a quantity?
Yeah,
you
hit, yeah, a quota. Hit. Yeah, yeah, and then
22
so,
what though?
22 sets. I don't care what it is. If it's a shithole open mic, just so long as I get.
So
at
you
least
say you have
that,
a calendar for
and
May.
That number is 20. That target number is 22.
At minimum, yeah, minimum.
So May, so, you have a May calendar, and your job is to get 22 shows in that month.
Yeah.
And no matter where the fuck they come from.
I don't care, yeah. I mean, like, I'll after this, I would do a set,
how'd you
right?
come up with 22?
22 gives you, like, 250 for the year.
Oh, okay. So where did you get 250 or whatever?
I like 250.
just a round number, or was that your weight?
Yeah, that was
back then. Yeah, that was my weight back then. Like, so I was trying to keep comedy shows
okay,
to my weight.
All right,
yeah, yeah. It's a fucking which is hard because I don't know if it's like I'm just a married guy and like, oh fuck, I like being with my kids and family a little more. So I'm like, all right, I'd rather go in the garage at 10 o'clock at night and just go boom and set where there's no one laughing and whatever, instead of going to an open mic.
Going back to what we talked about, I think that's useful. I actually used to think that wasn't useful, but now I actually think that is useful just because it gets you talking and practicing your stuff. But at the same time, you can't just rely on that. You still got to get out, man. You still got to try it out on an audience.
You know what, man? I think it's both. I've been lazy without like working out and act out smoothly so I can at least get that out of the way nice, you know, the first time. So at least I don't fuck up the wording. I think that's where the practicing
in
the mirror.
Yeah, that's still useful.
Well, I don't practice in a mirror because
I
used to,
you know what I mean?
No, I used to, back in, when I first started, I would do that mirror trick where you got to look and see your expressions and shit and go, hey, I should say this at the time. And then I found myself on stage, like, trying to mimic that same look, but you don't see it.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, you know, I'm like, ah. So I say, fuck that. I'm just going to go out there and be me, but I want to know in my mind exactly what I'm going to start talking about. So when I'm doing my wife joke or my this joke or the new joke that I'm working about is that the caged animal joke and shit. So I'm in my garage and I'm like imagining people and there's people that's there. So you're right. There's no reaction from the people. And I'm thinking, all right, boom, this is when it hits.
You can teach your Prius how to fucking laugh.
No, because the problem with that thing is you don't get your timing down.
No, my timing's fine.
No, it's not, because you don't know how long that laugh is.
Yeah,
right.
Oh, which is true.
Right. Like, what if it was a really good joke, and they fucking laugh for like a good 30
and
seconds?
You step on it. Yeah, you're right.
You don't know. Like,
but you know what, though? That's why we go do shows, and as a professional. But as professionals, though, not go every show, because every open mic's not going to be the same. You're not going to have that same timing no matter what. So no matter what, as a professional, what I was always taught is you got to hear your audience.
Who's
so,
this motherfucking teacher that's teaching this bullshit?
That's right. Yeah, who's the guy?
No, for real. Because you got...
Who's this guy teaching you?
It's called Darius Campbell. I know you guys didn't want to hear my second person. No, for real. Because what I say, you got to hear your room. So no matter what, you as a professional comedian, you got to hear your room. No matter what, if your laugh is short, you got to know to jump in. If your laugh is long, you got to know to stay back and watch it and relax.
Yeah, you got to adapt.
You
got to
know.
Room.
You
got to
be professional about that. And that's what we learned in this time of craft. It's not let's go out there and just fucking do our set. Because we get so much involved in our set, we forget about listening to our room. If somebody drops a fucking spoon or someone doing that, you got to address that shit. It's the elephant in the room.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, which we're a professional enough to understand that. someone that's not professional, if they're also involved in their set, they're like, oh, I got to do this and get this joke done.
Tape recorder set. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, fuck that. You got to listen to your room. You're talking to them. So that's why when I'm in my garage, I'm talking. I don't hear anything. My wife might yell, yeah, they need some milk. And I'm like, oh, fuck. I got to go upstairs now. Pause. And do it. But that's a stop.
Wait, so you record it?
Well, I record
it. Did you listen to it?
Yeah.
So there's like no laughs or anything. You no, nothing. To
no,
talking?
The reason why
I listen to it at?
Because there's no laugh track at home.
No. The reason why I listen to it back is because I want to hear, because I know, as listening to all the comics we listen to, especially for coming to our show and doing whatever, I know, and you should know, where
you know what? I was doing that for a minute. And that
listening to yourself talk without not a real show.
Yeah. I've done that just to get the wording down, and I'm like, it can kind of, because
both okay, facts, look at, both facts.
When you listen to your tapes, right? Have you like recorded your set? Yeah. Doesn't it feel like you're listening to somebody else?
Not
doesn't
to him.
It, doesn't it?
What
doesn't
do you
it
mean?
Like
Ray has
you
never
zone
listened
out.
To our
you zone
podcast.
Out when it gets boring. Like you zone out when it gets boring. And then when it's funny, you kind of let you might
you
even
want
laugh.
To zone back in.
Yeah, I mean, like you kind of catch your no. I don't know. That's how I felt when I record when I listen to my own sets. I'm like,
well, sometimes I hate myself. Like, who the fuck
is that? You know, if you ever watch your own videos and you're like, damn, I fucking sucked right there. And you want to bite your nails?
Yeah,
yeah. I hate those.
Oh, it's brutal, man. Going over it, but yeah, I've done that and I've actually figured out some tags that way. I haven't done that for a long time, but
you know what?
Because I've tried a lot of things. One thing that's cool, man, is I actually Googled how they study in like Harvard, and they say like you study for like 45 minutes, and then after that you take a 15-minute break. So I started writing like that, and when I was actually hardcore writing with pen and paper, just write for 45 minutes, take a 15-minute break, and then write again.
Has it helped?
Yeah. I mean,
really?
Yeah, I've had some good writing set, like 4-hour writing sessions.
I was trying to jack off
for
that
fucking 4 hours.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'll do binge writing. Yeah, like because I'll pick a day.
Four hours?
Yeah, well, because 45 minutes, 15, 20 minutes off, go make a sandwich, you know, come back in for 45 minutes. It's like school, dude.
Are you writing new material? What are you doing? What are you?
Yeah, just kind
of
like.
Are you thinking of bits or premises at the time?
Maybe like working on half worked out jokes. You know, okay. Like trying to like expand on that
How
or whatever.
Often do these binges.
Dude, it's been a minute, but when I was going through that phase, it was at least once or twice a week.
His third divorce.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
So, but I've cranked out some good material even doing it that way.
Huh. That's some good shit because, you know, like I said, lately I've been pulling out the notebooks and reading some, like, cross material, studying, and I've been doing a lot of shitload of YouTube studying of fucking other comics. And listening to their material, not stealing, but listening to their material in the way that they're.
Who
are
you listening to?
I've been listening to fucking everybody. I've been listening to my favorite one, Russell Peters. I've been listening to him. I've listened to Ari Spears. I watched the whole All Star Comedy Jam for fucking one, well, Kevin Hart.
It's kind of hard though, because those cats are like, their skill is in like, well, yeah, but Ari's is impersonation.
Yeah, which is true.
So
which
is Russell kind of.
Yeah, but you know what Ari Spears did to me?
Yeah,
Ari Spears made me want to go learn the British accent. So I said, Cheerios, mate. And you know what I'm saying? But
let's see it.
That's
let's
a big
it.
Accent.
He said Cheerios.
Yeah.
I think you need to work on that one.
Fuck you guys.
You got on it?
Hey. That was your biggest laugh of the night, okay? Fuck you guys. Cheerios.
I'm good.
It doesn't matter. It might not
let's
be important.
Do it. Just say something in British.
No, I've been fucking working
with
the Cheerios.
No, Cheerios.
Tell us who's playing basketball.
No, I was
saying the British accent,
mate. Cheers, mate. I was working at a squares, and I was sweating with the league. You know what I'm saying?
Not bad, not bad, not
it wasn't
bad. Really funny. It's Jamaican.
No, because I'm black. So you only said. Maybe. No, that's what someone at work's like. It's kind of Jamaican. I'm like, no, hey, man. We're going to call it
that is Jamaican.
Yeah, that's Jamaican. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, all right.
Because there are a lot of Jamaicans over in London. So I've been fucking. But Ari Spears, Tommy Davidson, man. I was watching Ron White. I was fucking doing. And then I watched a lot of amateurs. Just, you know, because got involved with shit. And I was like, man, you know what? One thing I'm not. Like Heather Panatsky or something. So looking at these guys, and I'm watching the same thing, like what they're doing, and there's a lot of talking and a lot of not laughs in the middle, which is sad because you know, because you want laughs all the time, but you see, no, these guys are very professional, but they don't get their laugh right away, and somebody set it up, and then boom, the laugh comes in, and then it rolls and tags. So I'm like, all right, you know, just timing.
So what you get out is just Cheerios, mate? Cheerios. What you get out of all
this? I'm working, dog. I'm Cheerios, at home. Manny. I'm at home fucking studying. I'm at least doing some work at home.
You know what was cool to watch, what you just said right now, is the professionals that can are cool with the silence.
Yes.
Because the payoff is so fucking huge.
Yeah, that's the hard part.
Patrice, man. Patrice.
Oh, Patrice O'Neal, fucking great.
Yeah, man.
He was a different cat because he would, like, want, like, he didn't think he had a good set until he walked people. Like, that was his mentality. He's like, it's not good until, like, because he wants people to walk away. Like, he's not offending some people.
Walks people. Wow. Yeah.
Like, he doesn't like it. If someone's not walking away offended. Like, but he was a weird cat like that.
Yeah.
Like, you're right, though. He did, like, he set it up.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, he just didn't give a shit. But, it's just fucking funny, man.
He was very funny.
It was a huge influence on me. And,
So tell your story about when you did a set with Patrice.
Patrice O'Neal, man. He popped into this spot in L.A., this Tuesday room where I used to perform. Three clubs. It was a good show. It picked up, you know, and it got really popular. Got to be a pretty full room, and I would frequent the place from when it was dead. So I was in, you know, so when it was popping, and yeah, there'd be some real good guys dropping in. And then one day, fucking Patrice O'Neal was there because he was in town. He just wanted to get up, do a spot.
Did he hit you up for it or?
Oh, no.
You didn't run it. You were just.
I was just booked.
Yeah.
And Brian Swinehart ran it. And a good friend of mine. He's cool. Anyway, yeah. So, but Patrice, yeah. So he's on there. I'm on there. And I go up and do some bullshit. I was pretty much, at the time, I was new. Dane Cook was hot. I was pretty much like a Dane hack. A fat Dane hack. So yeah, I was like, it's a good thing I stopped. I was gonna have a heart attack doing my act. But anyway, so yeah, it was garbage, man. It was total garbage. And but I was getting a response at the time because that kind of style was in pretty much,
right?
You know, like a lot of people are hacking CK right now.
Yeah.
And so that style's in. So there's the same thing with Dane in like 05 or 06. And I do okay. Patrice's friend goes on. He eats a dick, and then he's feeling bad, and Patrice is talking him up, saying, well, you did better than this motherfucker right here.
and he's talking to me.
I'm like, all right, dude, this is like one of my idols. I'm pretending I just didn't hear that. And then he comes right in front of me and makes this absolute disgusted face. and to the point where I look away, it was so uncomfortable. And when I look back, he's still making the face. and from that point on, yeah, Patrice really helped me, man. Because I knew to ditch most of that bullshit after that. So yeah, I owe Patrice a lot. Yeah, so no, it was a good thing. I mean,
so at this point in your career, do you think you found sort of your voice? Because you said you were a Dane hack back then.
Like, yeah. Oh, yeah, like, dude. I'm way different now. I feel I'm doing more me.
More you?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I don't know what this is going to be in another 5 years.
Right.
You know, but for right now, it feels pretty genuine.
Right.
And I think when people watch me, they really won't see anybody else.
Right. Now, how do they find you again?
They find me at on Twitter. At Alfonso_comic, and on Facebook, Alfonso Ochoa Comedy.
Nice, nice. And so fucking, you're here. And when's your show in Ace again, one more time?
Ace is for anybody in the Temecula Murrieta area. We have a Thursday show at Ace's Comedy Club, 8 p.m. every Thursday, so just come on out.
So you have new comics though there. All the
yeah,
time.
every Thursday we have some new comics coming.
Are they IE comics or Ray and I'll be on the show one day soon?
Definitely, you guys will be out. Nice. And also we have like people.
And I promise
we just had Andy Haynes.
I won't do crowd work that work. No, I'll do.
No, bring it. Do crowd work.
Just saying, like.
Do crowd work, but it does have to be good. All right.
I don't think I've had a bad show in the last year.
No, I'm playing off what you said earlier, but Yeah,
so that's not what I said earlier.
Yeah, like you're special. That doesn't have to be good.
Yeah, fuck you guys. My hour special is in my garage.
All right, you know what?
My crickets love my shit.
Come over. Yeah, just write whatever you think is gonna work, and
it won't
and
matter.
Untest it. And
it
just,
won't,
and
it won't matter because I will.
I'll give you 15, bro.
No, because it won't matter. Even if I write it, I won't do it. They'll tell you.
What I'm telling you. Do your fucking shit, dude.
I can't do it.
What do you mean you can't do it?
It has to come out like a year later. Like your podcast. No, you're right. I'll write it. I'm gonna write one fucking for my Marietta crowd.
Perfect.
Hey,
yeah, we'll have you out,
Greg Koprick. I'm coming out to Marietta and Ace Comedy Club. The one you want me to come to is right next to your house. Come and see me. I'll be there with Alfonso.
Shout out to our one fucking listener. Like, what's
Greg
now?
Is in Marietta. He's
like our
telling.
One listener.
He's not our one listener. We got a lot of listeners. But just the one, Greg, I'll be in Marietta soon. You wanted me to come there.
That'd be so funny if we just did this for one person.
It probably is.
There's like no chicks. This is one fucking Craig.
No, actually, we have more chicks. No, we have more chicks. We have more chicks than we have dudes.
Who?
What we have, I know for a fact, we have Tracy, we have Carrie, we have Jessica, we
That's
have
so
Tanya.
Funny, you know all your listeners. First name. Do you have all their, wait, do you hang out with these people?
out of the four, hey, listeners. Four 400, 500
later,
people that you do, all you comics that listen to us, fuck you guys. Send Ray Chung an email.
Do they really listen, or are they just like, yeah, listen?
Well, if they know what you fucking... Well, Ray didn't feel like he was there that night. Yeah, this motherfucker, they listening. They're
really?
Watching you. The girls watch us more.
Who
listen
are these
to
people?
Us. The co-workers, friends, and family. Yeah, they listen to us and whatever. They know our moods and when we weren't in the thing.
Damn,
so,
thirsty.
Hey, guys,
they
listen to
thirsty.
It. Send Ray Chung. Ray always said thirsty. Send Ray Chung an email, tell him you're listening so he can feel better about himself. Let his dick get hard.
I need some stats.
Yeah, he's Asian. He's Asian, so his penis needs to get bigger. So so send him a fucking little message, man. Let him know you guys are listening and he's following us. That you know, he's Ray Chung. You follow him on Asian Butt Thunder on Twitter or Instagram, whatever.
ASEANBUTTHUNDER Asian Butt Thunder.
Asian Butt Thunder, man. Check him out, man. We had Alfonso Ochoa in the house. Did I say it right?
Yes.
Here you go.
My son, we have him in the house in Marietta, Ace Comedy Club. You can find him on Facebook, Twitter, all the good shit.
Thanks for doing
this, buddy. Man, we really appreciate you coming
out. This was a lot of fun.
Man, we definitely appreciate you coming out.
And the fucking Heat are killing the Pacers.
No, fuck that. Yeah. The Pacers are putting a fucking weekend. Yeah. That's just 10 points.
3 minutes left.
Okay, we're going to wrap the show up, man. This is them nuts, man. We're going to wrap this up. We're going to hang out a little bit more. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. iTunes.
Hey, can we be on like a dating stuff?
Could we
be like them nuts on like on
Match.com?
Match.com.
Date all you guys.
It's not dating.
We're at Tinder. Them nuts.
Tinder.
You want to be blackpeoplemeet.com?
Them nuts on blackpeoplemeet.com.
All right, I'll set up.
Farmers.
We already are farmers only.
Can we be on?
Hey, farmers farm nuts.
You get a, what is it, like a 4-for-1 special? You get to date everyone?
Yeah, I guess.
That's not cheating, right?
No.
It's a quarter of cheating.
You're right. As long as you fucking text, message, or call before you come home, it's okay. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Like you said, there's a hanger outside. I want you to grab it, bitch. All right, this is them nuts. We're out of here, man. We had Alfonso in the house, man. It was much great. Appreciate it, bro. Thank you for staying. Man. We'll
Thank
get some
you.
Of this shit on the show. All right, we're out.
Perfect.
Thank you for listening to Them Nuts Podcast. Hope you enjoyed the show. Stay tuned for new episodes and other Them Nuts productions. Be sure to like and follow us on all the social media networks and Podomatic.com, because we have got more to come.